friends, welcome to Live Boldly with Sarah Schulten-Kranz, a survivor, thriver, adventurer, and believer in all things possible. My mission is to guide others to live their life boldly, regardless of circumstances. I believe we all have the power to overcome and lead joy-filled, happy lives. Recorded from the trail or in my office, I share inspiring stories from everyday people because we all deserve to be heard. You will also hear from handpicked professionals ready to guide you beside me. Are you ready? Let's do this. Hi friends, I am so excited to have you here as I was honored to interview the amazing Morgan Harper Nichols for this particular podcast episode. We had a powerful conversation all about life, storytelling, purpose, passion, fear, courage, and man, was it inspiring. So if you don't have your journal, your pen, your favorite drink, please go grab it, curl on up, take some notes on this particular episode because it was an incredible conversation that she and I had together. Before I start talking about Morgan, I would like to share a few things with all of you. We are currently filling up our April 25th through the 29th Grand Canyon Transformational Retreat. It is co-led with Brittany Lynn. She is flying in from Costa Rica to do her amazing meditations, mindfulness, and some yoga perhaps on the trail. So if you are interested, again, all women, please do me a favor, DM me, send me a message, email me at sarah@sarahschultenkranz.com. I would love to set up a free 20-minute discovery call with you to see if this is the right fit. It is turning out to be a phenomenal group of women who are going to be going down into that Grand Canyon and coming on out completely awakened, transformed, healed with from many, many things in their life. And I'm telling you, it is powerful. So again, if you're interested, let's get you on that calendar, get a 20-minute free discovery call with me, and let's have that chat. Also, we are currently filling our July 9th through the 13th co-ed Grand Canyon retreat. Again, if you are interested, please send me a message and let's set up a call so that we can figure out if that is the correct one for you. That will be co-led with Jenna Reese. She is a breathwork and meditation instructor. She is phenomenal. Breathwork at the bottom of the Grand Canyon is like nothing else, I'm telling you. So if you are interested in July, please message me. Let's have that chat. And then guess what? November 10th is my book release. So if you are not subscribed to my newsletter, please go into my website, sarahschultenkranz.com, subscribe so that you can keep up to date on all things book launch, pre-book sales, everything from speaking engagements to book signings. And then also I am launching a monthly membership beginning January of 2021. And so all the information that is coming to me, I am passing out and funneling through my newsletter. Please go in and subscribe so that you do not miss a beat. Lastly, I am also running a December Grand Canyon retreat. So if that is something that you'd be interested in, you ready for this? It is Holiday at the Grand Canyon. We will be down there for Christmas. And yes, that means having a holiday meal in the amazing cantina at Phantom Ranch at the bottom of the canyon. It is a 3-night retreat. And if you are looking to transform your holiday, this is a perfect way to do it. I transformed my Thanksgiving down there last year, and let me tell you, it was phenomenal. So if that is something you're interested in, let's jump on a call and see if it is right for you. That will be a co-ed retreat. So let's talk about Morgan Harper Nichols. She is a writer, an artist, a musician who makes her work around people and their stories. And if you do not follow her on Instagram, please go do so. Her feed is beautiful. You can go in there and get a daily quote, daily inspiration every single morning, noon, night, whatever. Make your day a better day by just reading a few of her words because I'm telling you, they touch your heart and your soul. She actually started her adult life as a college admission counselor, which is interesting because I used to be a teacher. And then in 2017, Morgan started a project where she invites people to submit their stories to her website. From there, she creates art inspired by what they send her, and then she sends them the art for free. Nearly everything that Morgan creates and shares today is from this project, and she always keeps the names and stories anonymous. The fruit of this project is shared daily around social media, in publications, on murals, and more. She has been commissioned by and collaborated with publications and brands, including Adobe, Live Nation, Coach, Esquire Singapore, so many more. She has been featured on social platforms for publications such as Teen Vogue, Refinery29, Hello Giggles, and Soul Pancake. Her book, Storyteller, was a number one Amazon bestseller in inspirational poetry. And right now, you can go and purchase her book, All Along You Were Blooming, Thoughts for Boundless Living. I have this book sitting here right now, and let me tell you, the pages are gorgeous. The words are so inspirational and beautiful. Like I have said, they touch your heart and your soul. So once again, if you do not have your journal, go grab it, grab your pen, and please follow along, listen, jot down anything that you get out of this particular podcast, because it was an incredible conversation that we had together, and I am just honored to share her words with all of you. Hello, I am so excited to have Morgan Harper Nichols in front of me. And by the way, literally, my niece will not stop texting me right now, and I'm not. I can't believe you're interviewing her.
Oh my goodness.
Well, the beautiful thing about you is that, which we'll get into who you are and everything, but the beautiful thing that I just want to say off the bat, like right off the bat, is that you touch lives across age groups. You touch lives across, I mean, like the amount of people that follow you, that listen to you, that love your work, that you inspire, that you, where you touch their heart and their soul. You have a huge following, which just proves right there. I mean, that right there, you are doing some tremendous work in this world. Mm-hmm. So I want to just start out with, thank you. Really, thank you. My niece means everything in the world to me. I hike with her. I've climbed summits with her. I have done the Grand Canyon with her multiple times. And she's been through an awful lot in her life. And so when I noticed that she was following you and that you were inspiring her in a different way that I don't do it in the same way that you do. It just, I want to thank you for that, because that alone, the fact that you're touching my niece's heart and soul, means the world to me as her aunt. So that's really truly how I wanted to start this with you, is just a simple thank you.
Wow. Well, thank you. Thank you for sharing that with me. I, it was interesting because I started this whole project because I had a lot of uncertainty in my own life. And I was just kind of like, well, the least I can do is respond or write to one person at a time. And I honestly, in the beginning, and I've started sharing this more and more, but in the beginning, I actually lost followers when I started sharing more artwork, because I haven't gone to school for art, and I was just like in straight experimental mode, and I didn't know what I was doing. I was just trying stuff. But the way that I knew that I wanted to keep going was like, you know what? It doesn't matter if people unfollow me because they're like, I'm sorry, I just didn't sign up for Morgan's random art project. I was like, it's fine, because I know that it matters to write for one person at a time. So yes, that's still the way that I see it. It's the way that I think about it every single day. And honestly, it's the only way that I'm able to keep doing this, because there are moments where I'm like, whoa, that's a lot of people. I don't know what to do with that. Like, like I can't possibly connect with this many people. It's impossible. I just try to remember that. So to just, hear that, your niece and that she's one of those people. And when I hear a story like that, it just makes me take a moment for that person. I'm like, oh, that's who that's for. So thank you for sharing that with me.
Deal. The work that we're doing is big. It's a big deal when we are there to inspire even just one person and to touch their heart. It's a big deal, because we also know that then they are ripples in this world of touching other hearts and souls, which is why we do this work, right? I mean, I know I've met with you for what, a whole like 10 minutes, whatever it is. Right? You're my soul sister. I listen to podcasts, and I do want to talk really quick about who you even are. Right? Like, let's get down to that. I want to actually have you really dive into that, but you are a writer, you are a storyteller, which I freaking love right there. Mm-hmm. Anytime I see that, I'm like, yes, yes, please. Yes. More of that. Mm-hmm. You are an artist. You also are a musician, right? Mm-hmm. And there's so many parts to you. And I want to just start there and have you introduce yourself. And how did you get to doing this?
Yes. So I feel like, you know, context is a huge thing, and background story can help a lot, at least in my story, is because I grew up in a very creative household where creativity was encouraged. Both of my parents are creative in their own rights. They're writers. And I was homeschooled, and my mom like made up her own curriculum for us. So I was a preacher's kid, and my dad was always really creative with the sermons. And so I grew up around like two people who encouraged my sister and I to be really creative. So I grew up thinking, I was like, oh yeah, that's just what people do. Like they're creative and they have ways of expressing themselves, and that's just a thing. However, it's just the older I got and the more I got into the outside world and into college, especially, I started to quickly realize that, you know, not everybody has that sort of view of just like, oh yeah, just create and there's space for you. And I often felt, and it wasn't so much like from professors, like it was more so from peers. I often just felt like I wasn't cool enough to be in the artist crowd, but I was like too artist to be in the non-artist crowd. And I was just like, whoa, where do I fit? Like, I don't know like where my people are. I don't know where my community is. And that was very hard for me, because even though, you know, I am an introvert, and, you know, I think a lot of times people may think introverts don't want to have friends, but we do. And I was like, oh, like, and I have friends. I have very dear friends. I just always felt like a little different. And I always just felt like, I'm like, I don't know what I'm supposed to be doing. I just feel like some of the friends I do have, the things that excite them and bring them alive, like, I was just like, they wear me out. Like, I don't understand where I belong. So, you know, for me, I feel like the grace in all of that was that I somehow managed to put all of those questions into my artwork. And I somehow, all of those questions are feeling like I didn't belong. And I tried everything from being a wedding photographer to being a singer-songwriter, just all of these different ways to try to like connect with people through art, because I felt like this thing that's been in me since I was a child, since childhood, I was like, there's got to be a way to create a rhythm to connect with people. And I just kept hitting wall after wall after wall. And especially financially, it just got to be really difficult, especially in the years after college, because it kind of became like, well, you know, it's one thing to be in college or to be in high school trying out art projects, but it's another to be like going on, you know, a few years of marriage and you're and your spouse, me and my husband are trying to figure out like, you know, how we're going to figure this out. So that's another thing. So yeah, after trying a lot of different things, a lot of it culminated down to one night when I was 26, November 2016, I was sitting at home. My husband was working really late that night. And I just kind of had like a bit of a breakdown. And I was just like, you know what? I'm done trying. I feel like a failure. I feel like I've let my family down. I feel like my parents have cheered me on and supported me. And here I am, like no money, nothing to show for it. And I feel like I've let my husband down. Like he's so supportive and I don't have anything to show for it. And you know, I'm in this creative world. There's all these creative industries and I just don't feel like I can measure up. And it all kind of came down on me like in one moment. And I wrote a poem about it. And I wrote a poem about that moment. And the poem starts with, when you start to feel like things should have been better this year, remember the mountains and valleys that brought you here. And I wrote that poem, and in all honesty, I didn't believe it. I was just kind of like, okay, all right, sure. All of this brought me here, but I don't know why. It doesn't matter, whatever. I just kind of brushed it off. And I still ended up taking a picture of the poem and I ended up sharing it on Pinterest. And I forgot about it for a few months. and this was in November 2016, and in January 2017, I ended up finding out that it had been repinned over 100,000 times. And people started messaging me saying, hey, can you write more about that poem? Like, because that's what I've been through. Like, I feel that way. Can you write more about that? And at first, I was kind of like, oh, I don't really know. Like, I think that was just like a one-time thing. Like, I don't really know if I can go to that deep place of feeling like a failure all the time to write poems. Right. But the thing that kept me going, and it's kind of what I shared earlier, it's just, and there was a lot of young women that were messaging me, a lot of teenage girls just sharing with me the things that they had been through. And it was a very humbling experience because it was like, you know what? I may not be able to figure out this whole career as an art thing, but at least I can write for them. Yeah. At least I can write for this girl. So I started doing that in October 2017. I posted on my Instagram. I said, if you would like for me to write something for your story, just send me your story and I'll write something for you, and I'll just send it to you for free. I won't share your story. It stays private. And that's how I've been making my artwork ever since. And yeah, so that's a huge, huge part of what I do.
It's so interesting because one of the things that you said is about wanting to belong. I'm a massive introvert. People don't believe that because I am out there and, you know, but also some of it is because of me having to go through my own recovery in life. Through so many betrayals and everything and having to share my story. It's exhausting sharing your story. Like it really is a lot. And I still have been trying to figure out through my own, you know, shift as well. Like what you're talking about is trying to belong. Like we all want friends. We all, even the introverts, right? Like we want friends.
Yeah.
And we need friends. We need support. And through my own, you know, navigating through my own summits and valleys and canyons and out on the ocean, I've been navigating that same thing because we all do. Like in this world, we all want connection and we all want community and we all want to belong and we all deserve to, and we all can. There is a place for every one of us. It's about figuring out where do I create that, or how do I fit in with other people? And you've done a brilliant job in creating that, not only for yourself, but for others in this way. Because social media can be, it can ride two different waves. You know, I remember in the podcast that you were talking about with social media as well. Like there's a huge balance with social media of do we use it for good? And because it can also create an awful lot of angst. It can create an awful lot of damage for a lot of people. And so you're using this as a platform for so much good.
Mm-hmm. Well, thank you. That's my hope. I think a lot about, you know, back in those early days when I started to receive those messages, you know, like I mentioned before, it was a lot of young people, not only teenagers, but there were a lot of younger people. And, you know, and I was like, you know what? I definitely know I at least have something to say to myself 10 years ago. So at the time I was 26, I was like, I at least have something to say to 16-year-old Morgan. So if I were 16 now, I would be on Instagram. I would be on Snapchat. You know, I didn't have those things when I was 16, but if I were in that time, that's what I had. So for me, social media is like, well, whoever you're speaking to, where are they? And that's where a lot of people hang out. And as I started to write more, I was like, oh, it's not just 16-year-olds. It's me. It's also 25, 35, 65.
46.
Yeah.
I'm 46.
Yeah, I'm like, it's a place for many different reasons, is a place that we can connect and that many of us have a presence. And so, and my thing is like, and that could change in a year, you know, or 5 years, but as long as it's here, I'm like, this is a place where people are, and it's definitely a place to connect with people. So I'm going to use it.
Well, I'm going to throw something out there as well with this, is that I know for my own self that when I'm reading many of your poems, a lot of your writing, it also speaks to my 17-year-old self. And there's so much healing that we, even as a 46-year-old, that still is constantly being done with my younger self. So if it's my 17-year-old self going through my major first trauma, or if it is my 10-year-old self when I was alone, you know, hiking through cornfields or whatever it was, right? And so I know that the important part, I think, that also is that we're finally putting into the light is that it's not only about the person that you are today, it's the person that you were throughout your entire lifetime that we still need to go back and look at and say, where is this coming from? Where is this stemming from? So I don't, and it's also about that future self, right? Like, where do I want to go? How do I, in your podcast, when you mentioned about the guy on the, and I'm going to pin your first, that pod, this last podcast, because I want you all to go and listen to it because it was so, I was throwing it out. Oh, to I was like, listen to this. This is so, this speaks to me, and which I'm going to get into with that. But you mentioned about the kid on the airplane, right? About how he was getting ready to take off and he was all scared. And then all of a sudden, not too much longer, he was taking his phone out and he was like taking pictures of everything. And it was about taking that first step and putting yourself into motion. So even if that, and where I'm going with this is even your words speak to me in where I'm going to be going, right? Mm. So they put me into motion into who is that person that I want to become, which is beautiful. I mean, it's beautiful.
Thank you.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I just, and hearing you share that, like, I think one word that comes up for me, and it's a super common word that gets used a lot, but I love it. And that's just the journey. And you know, I try to write for the journey because, you know, I think a lot about, you know, my why and why I do this. And a huge reason why is because of all of the people who have met me where I was on the journey. And sometimes they're people that I know in real life, but sometimes it was through a painting, it was through a poem, it was through a song. And, you know, I think that these things, like, you know, my artwork and my poetry, I don't see it as like, I'm not trying to solve everyone's issue. I can't do that. There's no possible way that I can fix everything for someone. But if it can just be, you know, a poster board along the sidewalk or a billboard along the interstate of life for someone that just reminds them to keep going and that they're not alone, like, for some, that might be enough. For some, there might be just who pass it by, you know, maybe they didn't need that message today and that's okay. But yeah, like, there have been moments where I've heard people say things on podcasts or in books or in a poem that I'm like, yes, that speaks to the depths of my soul. And that encourages me to keep going. So that's a huge reason why, you know, I in a way, like, I even, that's why I do it. And I also feel like it's like my duty to do it. Like, I feel like it's my duty to pass it on because I have, like, I share this story about my college professor who I went to a community college for a semester because I just couldn't figure out what I was going to do. And I had, like, had a music scholarship at another school and that wasn't working out. And I was at a community college and it was kind of like a predecessor to that moment I had when I was 26, where I was going to give it all up. I had like a mini moment like that in college where I was like, I think I'm going to give this up. Like, I don't think I'm going to try to major in music or do anything creative. Because it's just, I can't keep up with the competition. I just can't. So I had a professor, I turned in a poem for just like a regular assignment in a literature class. And I still like will Facebook message him like once a year and tell him thank you. And he looked at me and said, hey, Morgan, I'm not sure if you know this or not, but you're a writer. And he was like, you need to write. And he was like, here's how you can do that professionally. And just like in 5 minutes after class, like he just like went through this whole list of all these different things that writers could do. And he's like, you can go to school, you can do this, you can do that. And I was like, whoa, like it was the first time that I had like someone that wasn't my mom or dad, like really take that kind of time to speak what they saw in me. And it became, in that moment for me, it's like, I'm like, that was a game changer. I don't know what I would have done had I not been told that, because everything that happened after that, I'm like, that was a big part of the story. That small moment was a big part of my story. So for me, I'm like, I feel like it's my responsibility now to pass that on. I'm like, he wasn't being paid to tell me that. I mean, yes, he was paid, you know, to work in a school, but no one told him specifically that he had to spend that extra time. He wasn't paid to take that extra time with me. And that's just one story of many that I've had, just little things, some not even related to art, and that I just always remember. I have like a really serious memory. So I remember lots of little moments, just like, just little things that people said that just like made me feel like somebody, made me feel seen, right. Made me feel noticed. And I'm like, yeah, I'm here because of all those little moments. Like all of those little moments matter to bring me here. So, you know, I feel like now it's my responsibility to at least try to be that for someone else. And I don't do it perfectly, and I never know like how my words will connect with someone. But yeah, so I'm really passionate about the journey and writing for the journey. It's a long way of saying that.
No, I get it. And you know what? There's two things that I want to tell you that is so interesting. Now, I went to art school, but was not a writer. Oh. And now I'm writing. Teacher, when I was in high school, I was pregnant when I was a senior in high school, and he gave me literally the key to the art room and said, you need to do this. Your outlet, this space, whenever you want to stay here, just lock it up behind you. It doesn't matter. So I would be out there into the night. My mom would have to come out and actually pull me out of the school because like, you can come now. But that was my creative outlet, which is so interesting because then I became an art teacher. I went to college and became an art teacher. When I started writing, my parents and even my own sons were like, I didn't know you could write. Like you can really write. No, I can really write. It's a different form of, it's a different creative flow. Like your artwork is beautiful. It's a different creative flow, right? Yes. It's absolutely phenomenal. And it's literally writing with a different, form. And that's what I love about it. That was the one thing I wanted to mention. And then the other thing is it truly, I get it. The whole, like, people saying things to you and you don't know how your words are going to affect another person or how your look is going to affect another person, or how your hug is going to affect another person or your connection anyway. Mm-hmm. And my own due diligence today is also to tell people how they're impacting me and what I also see in them. And so, you know, if I'm on the trail with somebody, or if it is in passing, or if it's when I'm on a retreat, whatever it is, if I see something in somebody that I feel like they're not seeing in themselves, I don't really have a hard time anymore just saying, you know, here's what I'm seeing in you. My hope is that you also are connecting with that. If not now, then at some point.
Oh, yes.
It's you are the leader, or you have an incredible voice, or to share something, or your story means something, whatever it is. Had I not had that through my own journey, I don't know if I'd be where I'm at either, quite frankly. Now, I don't know if I would be sitting here doing all the things that I'm doing, because it made such an impact in my life.
Yeah. And
you know that.
Yeah. And I think that that's, for me, I'm like, I feel like that's what motivation should be. You know, I think it's one thing to say to someone like, you can do it, like, don't give up. And I say that too, but I always try to just like, think about like, is there a way that I can say this that helps them see that you already have the tools to get started with that? Like, for you to be brave is not some random thing. Like, you've already been brave. Like, the fact that you showed up today, the fact that you are breathing, like, that is strength. Like, and I've gotten, and it's been light. I haven't gotten a ton, but I've gotten criticism, like, from people sometimes, like, in comment sections that are just like, you know, oh, your poems, like, they don't challenge people enough. Like, they don't push people forward enough. Like, you need more to talk about more accountability. And my thing is just like, look, most people are being flooded with messages every day of what they should be doing.
Oh.
I'm like, they don't need me to be another person tell them what they should be doing. They already have those. Like, we yeah. all have them. So I'm like, I just want to be the kind of writer that encourages people to see, like, yes, there's a bunch of stuff I have to figure out. There's things that I have to own up to. There's things I have to try. Like, there's areas where I have to forgive myself, where I have to forgive others, where I have to do this, where I have to do that. And this is also true. Like, I have the tools to work through all of that. And what I have right now, who I am right now, is enough. And even if there are some days where I don't go as far as I want it to, like, the fact that I even am breathing, like, that is enough. And I know that that might not be the most, like, hoorah, like, let's get it done message. But for me, I'm like, that's how I've made it through this life. Like, that's how I made it here, where I'm able to publish a book and all of this. Like, I didn't just wake up one day and like, oh, I want to publish a book. Now I got to do whatever I possibly can to, you know, to get there. It's like, I've got to be able to pace myself and pace myself not knowing where it leads. Right. So I try to pass that on to people, because I do think it can kind of be a message that gets lost a little bit. Especially sharing on social media, because it's not a place, it's not like a book, because it's, you know, people are there just for a few minutes. You know, when you're writing a book or reading a book, you're kind of there for a minute, or even watching a movie, you know, you're kind of there for a minute following the story. So I do think sometimes, like, messaging on social media, because of needing brevity and needing to be short, sometimes it can be like, oh, I got to get to the point really fast. I got to make sure people get it, what they need to do. So I do feel like, you know, I'm okay with sitting in a space that is not so much like, let's just get it all done. Like, let's just help one another be seen for where we are and appreciate each other where we are.
Yeah, I hear you. You said that word should. It's mm-hmm. That word should, of like, First of all, I was on the phone with my mom this morning and we were talking about this, because I know that my mother, you mentioned this in the beginning too, of feeling like, you know, you failed everybody, where are you in this? And I know for my own self, I thought I would be I'd still be a teacher living in Wisconsin with a white picket fence and my three boys and a dog and doing all the things, like, you know, being able to go to my family's house for Thanksgiving and holidays and everything. And here I am now, exactly the opposite, thinking about buying a vacation home in Costa Rica instead of actually having a house, quote unquote, because my kids now, like, their family life is not at all what I envisioned it to be, like, at all. And so I'm thinking, okay, what's exactly the opposite that I could be doing that I thought I would be doing now? And my mom said to me on the phone today, when I explained to her, you know, Mom, this is what I think I want to be doing in 5 years. Like, I think that this is where I'm thinking my life path is going to be going. And she took a little sigh and she said, that sounds like a dream. Mm. And I thought, wow, that just touched my heart so much, because it's exactly the opposite of what she thought I would and should be doing when I was growing up. It's exactly the opposite of what I thought I would and should be doing as now 46, wow. A single mom with three boys, marriage fallen, you know, had is not what I thought. Everything has been turned upside down from what I quote unquote thought I should or would be doing. And it's okay, because here now today, my mom is sitting there on the other end saying, that sounds like a dream. Yeah, go for it. Exactly the opposite of what I thought I would be doing when I was 16 years old, you know? And it's beautiful because the fluidity of life and your words show that there is no should. Like, it's just the living. I mean, did you actually be doing what you're doing today?
No, I had no idea. I mean, you know, even from like a really technical standpoint, it's interesting, because, you know, a lot of what I share on social media is, a lot of what I share with my art is art with words. Mm-hmm. And I I remember reading and listening to a lot of like how to market yourself on Instagram. And I will often read and hear like the last thing you want to post is an image with text over it. And that's literally all yes. I post.
Yes.
So it was just so funny because like when I look at it, I'm like, man, I really am doing things in a really weird, random way. I'm like, I used to be the one who was like, oh, this is what it takes to be a successful artist. Okay, I'll listen. And now I'm like, or I'll just break all the rules and focus on the messaging and focus on the story and not worry about following every trend. And like, it's so interesting because I say this just for context. I'm like, I have 1.1 million Instagram followers and I don't even know how to use like most of the Instagram features. Like I used to use hashtags a long time ago. I don't use hashtags anymore. I don't know how to put GIFs in stories. Like people were asking me, like, can you make GIFs in can you make your art into GIFs? I'm like, I don't even know how
y'all are hilarious.
I'm like, it's so cool, but I don't even know how you're doing it. So yeah, I'm just like, yeah, I never thought that I would be someone who was just like breaking the rules and doing things so differently. I mean, these aren't like huge rules, but you know,
in my
early 20-year-old brain, you know, it was, yeah, I was like, oh, it's interesting what happened for me because it's like, I always knew I wasn't part of the like status quo because I always had terrible test scores. So I was like, okay, whatever the real thing is, I missed out on that. Won't be going down that route. So I was like, I'm going to go down the creative route. I always knew I would end up there and yeah. I was okay with like making less money or whatever. I didn't care. I was like, this is just what I do. But even within that, I still felt the pressure to follow like the status quo. Like there were these guys that I went to college with who were in a really like for the area they were in, like they were having some success with their band. And I remember distinctly like reading their MySpace bio, like figuring out like what I needed to change about my MySpace bio so that I sounded like them so that I could get their opportunities. I remember like listening to their music thinking like, what kind of guitars are they using? Like what kind of synths are they using? All this stuff and like trying to figure out how to make my thing like that so it could be successful. And what I'm so grateful for is like once I let all of that stuff go grudgingly because I wasn't trying to. I was just in that season where I was just feeling like a failure. I was just like, I guess this is the end. Once I let all of that go, like that's when I actually began to truly thrive. Because I was free from all that stuff. So yeah, I had no idea that I would be doing this, but I'm so grateful.
You know, okay, so I'm gonna go to this next step because when I was listening to your podcast about the fear and the courage, and like I said, I'm gonna stick this into the show notes as well. And one of the things that you mentioned is that the Grand Canyon is your favorite place that you love.
Yes.
There were so many things in that podcast, by the way. I mean, I was, so where I go to get inspiration and to before I'm interviewing anybody or anything like that, I literally go either on my paddleboard or I go walk or go for a run or I need to get outside and move. Movement is where I get my inspiration. And so I was listening to your podcast and one of the things, and the whole time, people around me were probably like, what the heck? Cause I was like, yes. Oh, I love her.
Oh my goodness.
Like, she's the best. Anybody that knows me or watches me knows like that truly is how I am.
Oh my goodness.
But one of the things that you had said was you choose to live and love boldly, even without the closure of yesterday. Mm. And it is, that was just one of the many things that you said that I was like, yes, that is so true. And then another quote that you said in there was sometimes it's climbing a mountain and sometimes it's softening into gradual, forgiveness. And there are just so many words that I was like, yes. So there are just so many things, but you also mentioned about the Grand Canyon. And why I bring this up is because I No, for me, the reason I got into my business and the reason that I got into what I'm doing is because the Grand Canyon was one of my healing spaces. Mm-hmm. It was one of the places that I went to, and you get this, to really dive deep into who I am and to get down into the soul and the core, who am I? And it's very much like you're talking about. You had to get back to who am I, not following the norms, not following society's thoughts, not following what people are telling you you should, quote unquote, be doing, that word again, in order to be, quote unquote, successful, which, by the way, what is successful anyhow? Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. so, right? And so for me, that was always my place, was going back to the canyon and really, I metaphorically use it in my retreats and why I do what I do as well, because it's diving deep into who you are sitting there and then coming out a transformed, awakened human being. It's just a really good way of going through the process while you're also in nature. And that's just really the point that I want to make, is it really is getting back. And I want everybody, it's so important for people to remember this, go back to who you are. Go back, strip down from all of the people that are the outside, you know, voices telling you, you have to be doing it this way, or you should be doing it this way, or why aren't you doing it this way, and questioning you, and just really align with your soul, your purpose, your spirit, your heart. And that's all you need in order to guide you. That's it. It's so simple. We overcome everything. And it's, I do the same thing. I've had to do the same thing in my business of like, okay, Sarah, you don't need to be listening to X, Y, Z, because you already know what to do. You've been here before. a thousand times in your past.
Which absolutely. Is why
your work brings me back to my past and reminds me of who I once was. Wow. And am today.
Wow. I love that. And I love that, you know, we have this Grand Canyon connection because I feel like there's, you know, in those moments where, or seasons where we're stuck in our head and we're having a hard time remembering the good things, remembering how far we've come. You know, I think a lot of times physical spaces can remind us of a lot. And for me, now when I go to the Grand Canyon, like I don't get to go all the time, but every time I go, I remember where I was the last time I was there. And I can think about everything that's happened in between that. And it kind of becomes like, I have these places like in the world that are like little anchor points. Like I had a moment like that. I was, I was born in California, but I was raised in Georgia, and I hadn't been to Georgia in a year. So I was there a few weeks ago and I was only there for a moment. But when I was there, there were places that I drove by that I hadn't driven by in who knows how long. And there was just so much that I was like, wow, like, I think I said this before, I have like a really intense memory. I can remember a lot of things and I can remember, for me, this might not be for everyone, but for me, I can remember like specific types of music or songs that I was listening to on certain roads from years ago. And I can even just think about like, oh, I was listening to that song because I was going through this. Like I was doing that because I was over here because this is what was going on. And I was asking these questions and I was trying to figure this out. And wow, I don't even think about that stuff anymore. And it was consuming me back then. So I actually incorporate a lot of imagery in my work and a lot of landscapes into my work because of that reason. It's like, this isn't everyone, but it's like, if you've ever had a moment in the forest or at a mountain or by a river, and it was just a memorable moment, it's just like, you remember that for a reason. And I like to think that there's a lot there. There's a lot to unpack there. So I read a lot about that. And I'm also just passionate about like, you know, these beautiful spaces. I think, you know, now that we all have like these, you know, well, not all, but most people have phones in their hands that can take beautiful pictures and videos. You know, sometimes it can be really easy to forget like all of the stories and the sacredness of a place, of a space, because we have these phones, they can just capture it. And then if it's not like the most National Geographic worthy photo ever, then we don't even feel like we can share it. And it's like, no, there's so much more to it than that. It's like, yes, you can get a beautiful photo, but it's like, there's so many stories and history and struggles associated with this land. There's so many things that you just standing here, like being a part of it. That's why I love to write about imagery, and I love to talk about nature imagery a lot, because I really do think it's a way that can connect us to one another. Right. And it can just be a way to just connect us with the present moment. So there's a lot of that in my book too. Like I have like a really, I'm on the job training with my art skills, and I, even within my book, there's a lot of on the job training. But I definitely have canyons painted in the book as well. So,
oh yeah, you talked about that. And I, I love that. I mean, and you talked about how, when you sometimes look at a summit and you're, you know, like I could, the fear and the courage with that, that actually goes along with it about, even going up, if you were to climb a summit, like there's still that fear of like, I could fall off.
Absolutely.
And that becomes also a driving force, which is beautiful. You know, that's, yeah. I know every time that I talk about this, I was just writing about this in my book, and that's going to be published. And it's about how I actually look for that person when I'm running a retreat of, who do I feel like that is in fear mode, where they're feeling that anxiety. And they're always the ones, I'm giving this away now, they're always the ones that I actually call on to lead us in, because those are also the ones that, that I know, it's that person where I'm like, I see you, I see you, and I see that leader, and I know what you're capable of. And we are all there to support you through this, because Grand Canyon is such a spiritual space. When you go there, do you just feel it? Like I feel the spirits. Mm-hmm. Like I feel like I must have had past lives there or something, because I'm in there and I'm just like, oh yeah, I feel you guys. I feel you. Mm-hmm. I feel you. All those people that have walked those trails before, all the people, the ancestors and just everybody, the Hopis, it's just like, you know, you're just feeling them as they are. As hiked down inside. Have you been there? I mean, have you gone down in?
No, I haven't. I haven't. And that's why I just like, I want to spend more time there, because I went as a kid. I'm so glad to connect. And we will definitely connect, because I want to go deeper. Literally. So.
Literally. Well, listen, anybody that's been in there with me knows we go deep. So
I've done trails like around like in Arizona, but not actually at the Grand Canyon. So,
oh, honey, there's a reason. I always say there's a reason we connect. I got you, sister.
Awesome. I'm so glad. Yes. Well, I had the chance to Instagram stalk you for like 3 seconds, and all I saw was Grand Canyon. And I was like, follow. I don't even know what's going on here, but whatever she's doing, I want to be a part of it. So I will definitely talk. For sure.
Amazing. Hey, yes. Okay, I've already stalked you too. So there you go.
Oh my gosh.
So I want to talk a little bit about your book that just came out. Tell us about this. I want to know, just give it the juice. I know from writing a book right now that this is a lot of soul pouring out onto page. Nobody told me it was going to be like this.
It's definitely a thing. So I'm so excited that the book is out there. It is. So as I mentioned before, I write my poetry and make my art from the stories that people send me. I'm just inspired by real people's stories. And I literally write for one person at a time. Like, I'm not trying to write for thousands or millions, like one person at a time. And in doing that, I've been doing that for 3 years now. And doing that, a lot of times, like when I'm writing, like I'll find myself like going really deep into something. And I'm just like, oh, I'm not sure if I can send this to this person. I'm like, we are still internet strangers, and you know, they might be opening this up like standing in the line at the grocery store, and like they weren't exactly ready for a Morgan Harper Nichols essay. So yeah, so there have just been moments where I've just kind of like held things and just like, I don't know what this part of it's for. It's for that, you know, it's for one person, but I'm just not ready to share it yet. And yeah, the book are those part twos of the poems. Like they're just me going just a layer deeper. So for instance, on social media, you will find that I write a lot about grace. And in the second or third poem of the book, I actually say something along the lines of like, when you've heard the word grace so much that like it doesn't even like really resonate anymore, there's grace for that too. So the book definitely has lots of moments where I just really try to sit with some of the things that I've already written and just go deeper. And I wrote them with the frame of mind of like, these are just words that I hope that someone wants to hold in their hand, or they just feel less alone by holding them in their hands, even if they're just looking at the pictures. So that's all along the blooming.
So I want to tell you, my niece's name is Grace, by the way.
Oh, wow.
And so, my niece that has been nonstop texting me about you.
Oh my goodness. Well, I have to tell Grace I said hello. And maybe I'll see her on the trails.
Oh, she's always with me. I adore her so much.
My goodness.
So I want to ask you, where do you write? Where do you find most of your inspiration?
Yeah, so I kind of write everywhere.
Do you write on your phone? Are you one of those people too? Like I pull my phone out and I'm like, ooh, something good. Yeah. I need to text this to myself.
I write everywhere. So I write in my notes app. I write in the Evernote app. I write in my notebooks. I write on my iPad. It's all over the place.
Yeah.
I went through a period where I was like, no, strictly Google Docs. So all of 2018, well, I would say 7 or 8 months of 2018 is like all Google Docs. But other than that period, it's kind of everywhere. And yeah, a lot of that now, you know, I became a mom 8 months ago. I have an 8-month-old son. And yeah, I just have to take what I can when I can, because there's sometimes where, and I've been doing a lot of audio recording now, like recording voice memos, because like sometimes I'll have him in my hands and I've got a thought and, you know, the second I pull out a pen, he's going to try to eat it. So
totally.
I'm like, hey Siri, can you record this? And I just record it. So yeah.
I do that when I'm on. On my paddleboard 4 miles offshore, I get like this.
Oh, yes.
I don't have a pen and a paper with me. And so I pull my phone out and I tell my clients to do this a lot. If you have thoughts or ideas that you want to actually, you know, put out there and then listen to, it's a great way to do it. It's a great way.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Where do you find most of your inspiration?
Connecting with other people.
Yeah.
And just hearing other people's stories, because I love stories and I love real stories. And yeah, that's where there are times where I'll just kind of have something that I'm going through and then it just kind of comes up naturally for me to write about. But most of the time it takes listening to others, honestly. And sometimes it's DMs and emails. A lot of times it's that. And a lot of times it's listening to podcasts, audiobooks, poems, interviews, like just listening to what's going on in the world. And the way I kind of see it is like, when I notice something, that means that that's stirring up something in me. I don't know what, but that's the connection just happened. So like when I have, there are times where, I actually just hired a team. So I have a team. We were talking this morning. It was so exciting. And I'm about to paint a mural and a try to at least keyword try. And I've just been struggling with, I was like, man, I don't know what I want to put on it. I know what I want to say, but I couldn't quite find the words. And passively, we're in the meeting and someone said, like what's going to go in the mural. Like she wasn't trying to come up with the phrase for the mural. So I'm just always listening. I'm like, there's a way we say things naturally. There's a way people focus on different things in their story. And I'm like, why did they focus on that? And then why am I focusing on the fact that they focused on that? And what can I write about that? So yeah, lots of listening.
Yeah, no, I hear you. And I think that, you know, in my work, I know too that just listening to nature when I'm outside.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Watching, listening to the dolphins, listening to the whales, listening to the birds, listening mm-hmm. to the trees, listening is a really underrated tool that mm-hmm. we truly need to get back to. And I
yes.
so many people to
absolutely.
Do
absolutely. Yeah.
And it's not just about like the word, but it's also about like listening to people's actions and mm-hmm. listening to their eyes and listening to their breath and listen.
Yes, absolutely.
Beautiful thing. Okay, so I'm going to ask you a few other questions too that I'm finding to be just so amazing. I know that there's a lot of people out there that want to know this too. Who do you read? Who are some of the people that you actually go to?
Yes, so I have so many.
So I'm sure there are. That's why I was like, how do I narrow it down?
Narrow it down to just poets right now, just so we won't be here for 12 hours. I would say three poets that I think about a lot, because I love to read, and I also love to think about writers and their process and their stories and just what they created and the time frame that they were in. And one of the first poets that ever really caught my attention was T.S. Eliot, which is, you know, he's a classic modernist poet that's been around. Lots of people know his work and things. And he, there's a line in his poem, Love of Alfred J. Prufrock, that stood out to me as a teenager. And it says, the last line of the poem is to human voices wake us and we drown. And I remember reading that as a teenager, like, what does that even mean? Like, I want to know what that means. Like, I feel like whoever this person is T.S. Eliot speaking to me. And I remember finding out about his work and looking him up and just being so shocked that like, this was like, that I just had such a connection with like an old dead white guy who I have nothing in common with. And I was just like, I never did not think that's what he was going to look like. So I think about that experience a lot because I oftentimes get in my head of like, oh, no one's going to connect with me because I'm this and they're that. And there's so many different ways that can go. So right. I think about that a lot. I'm like, it doesn't matter at the end of the day, like, on a soul level, yes, we are human and we can connect in ways that transcend all that other stuff that we sort of like should separate us. So yeah, I think about that a lot. And then I think about Maya Angelou a lot and just her work. And I'm like, could I be doing this without her having paved the way? I don't think so. She paved the way for a lot of people that mm-hmm. are like me and that look like me. And I'm just grateful for her work. And I think about her poems often and different things that she said. And one thing I find interesting about her is just that there have been things that she said, and like, I'll see them floating around the internet. And sometimes like people don't attribute them to her. And
right. Like,
Maya said that. And I'm just like, how interesting is it that someone's work can be that powerful, you know, that it's like, we don't even know who said this and here we are saying this. Now granted, I always leave comments if I can. I'm like, Maya said that. That's just really encouraging because there have been times where my work has been ripped off and I've had people take what I say and attribute it to someone else, or there have been some big ones. And I've just been like, whoa, okay, wow.
Wow.
I have to remind myself, I'm like, you know, it's still about connecting with people and touching people in a way that is on a soul level. And sometimes, yeah, so I think about her a lot. Another person is Mary Oliver. I'm mentioning all poets who are no longer with us. And I just love how there's an interview that she did. I didn't know much about her until I heard an interview that she did with Krista Tippett on the On Being podcast. And I didn't know that so many of the pieces that she's writing about were just like about like the forest by her house. And I just love how she could just write so beautifully and so deeply about a place that maybe to some of us might not be like that Instagrammable. Mm-hmm. Or it might not be like that, you know, notable, or, you know, it might not seem that interesting. And yet she brought so much depth and so much presence just to these simple things. So, but yeah, those are three that I think about a lot. There are many, many more. But yeah.
Beautiful. And, you know, one of the things that you mentioned too is, yeah, in the soul level, we are all connected. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And it's, so important. I was just having a conversation right before I got on with you about this exact conversation. Was that so many times we put these barriers up when in reality it's like what you've gone through, what I've gone through, what the person behind me, the person to the right, the person to the left. So many times it's the same thing. We just don't realize that we've all been or are going there, or are there, have been there, are there, are going there at the same time. And so it's a real interesting, it's interesting you bring that up, because that's something that gets brought up with me and my clients an awful lot, especially when we're long that we're there. We start to realize that every single time when we come out, somebody says, I had no idea that I had so much in common with you, and that like I looked at you and I just judged you, and you know, in reality, oh my gosh, we're one and the same.
I love that.
It's judgment. Yeah. It's one of those things that I'd like to, that. Can we put that with the word should?
And throw yeah, exactly. Please? Yes. Yes.
Please, let's you and totally I make an effort in this world to put those words. I'm sure we can come up with a few other ones, but like, put it out the door. It's real. Just it bugs me, and I think part of it's because I've been judged so much and been told what I should be doing. The flip side of it, that's also where I found the courage to do what I'm doing. So
I love that you turned that around. That's beautiful. Yes I definitely can see how all of those things that I thought I had to be, especially as an artist, in order to be an artist, in order to be myself, you know, now that I'm where I'm at now, I'm like, oh, I've got a long list of things that I thought I had to be. And I am so glad to share with others, like, hey guys, there's a life on the other side of that. I haven't figured it all out. I still deal with self-doubt. I still have questions. I still have moments where I compare myself to other artists. I compare myself to other people. And I'm still going to keep making art anyway. I'm still going to keep connecting with people anyway. So, yeah.
Well, you're doing a beautiful job. I
really believe that. Thank you so much.
Beautiful job of it. So I do want to ask you one last thing. If you could give a message to the world, to those that are listening, that can get rippled on into this world and make it a better place, what is it that you would like to share with the listeners right now?
Yes, I think the first thing that comes to mind has been on my mind a lot lately. It's just pay attention. Mm-hmm. And just pay attention to what's going on around you right now. That, you know, it's so easy to get in our heads and start thinking about the past or the future. And there's also this moment, and there's something to be learned here. There's someone that you can serve, that you can be present with. There's space to just breathe, like to just take deep breaths and to trust that that matters. So just pay attention to what's happening right now and let it surprise you.
Oh, I love that. Let it surprise you. Okay, I just got chills.
Oh, wow.
That's the magic in living. That's the magic in living. That is the difference between, you know, the fear and the courage. Like, circle. Thank you for that.
Oh, yes, of course. Thank you. Thank you. I've really enjoyed this.
I've really enjoyed this with you as well. And I just want to thank you for being here and for taking to serve in this way. Yes. Because I know that, well, I know as soon as this gets out there, my niece is going to be on it in about 2 seconds.
I love that so much.
Yep. Yes. Sharing it with all of our friends. So, and I just want to thank you for truly taking the time out of your life and
doing this. No problem. No. I really enjoyed this. Thank you so much.
If you want to go into that Grand Canyon, there, ready, willing, honored, blessed, all the things, grateful to get you down and out and have you just have the time of your life while you're doing it.
Yes. Well, I'm so excited about that. And yes, I'm definitely going to be looking at my schedule. So let's stay in touch. Yes. Oh my goodness.
All right, hon. Awesome. Thank you. A million times.
Yes. Over. Thank you.
Friends, thank you for listening to the Live Boldly podcast. I am grateful to have you here, and I would love to invite you over to sarahschultenkranz.com to grab my free 7 Steps to a Joy-Filled Life. I share these 7 steps from my own heart, soul, and experience. These steps transformed my own life from victim to survivor. Also, please, let's all be a ripple effect of change in today's world. I ask of you to please share this podcast with others that may need to be inspired or who need to hear from others going through where they are right now. To grow this podcast, please leave an iTunes review, go to my Instagram or Facebook page, and let me know what you think. I love hearing from each and one of you. I love sharing your thoughts, messages, and inspiring words. Because we are not alone in this world, friends. Let's keep the ripple moving. It begins with each one of us. I love you, and have a great remainder of your day.